Do we have any announcements? I'm sure we do. Worship circle is this Friday. It starts at 7. So be there. Or you're going to miss out. Tonight at 6:30, be here for Brain Skills. Thriving tomorrow at 6. Okay. So, get with Cindy on that. And I know there's Vacation Bible School. I don't know when it is. Was there a slide? The 12th? If you're interested in VBS for your kids, talk to Stephanie, talk to Cindy. Cindy, do you want to make an announcement about it? It's coming up, everybody. Okay. I'm going to pray very quickly. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your peace. And thank you for your truth. And help us hear your truth today. And only your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Did I say that already? Did I already say that? Well, I meant it. It's Pentecost this morning, all day, really. It's one of the big church holidays, right? It goes Christmas, and then Easter, and then Pentecost, and then I think it's summer vacation after that. I couldn't think of what comes next, and then college football starts, and then Christmas again. The high church holidays. When I think of Pentecost, I think of two things. I think of the Holy Ghost and the church's birthday, because it kind of marks the start of church, how we know. Please don't think that this is going to be comprehensive in any way. I really just kind of have one thing I want to say about it. It's just going to take me a second to get there. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I tend to think of him as a New Testament part of God. But the truth is, the Spirit is dotted along the timeline of the Old Testament, starting with creation. And if you turn in your Bibles to page 1 and read the first 3 sentences, it says, it's in the front, it's in the front. The back is like the maps, the book of maps, and then you've got the creation at the beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And maybe you get it. I don't. The good news is he doesn't require my comprehension of that. I just have to believe that it's true. So let's visit a moment in the Bible where all three of the persons of God are together. And it's from Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And isn't that an amazing moment of interaction? You know, I love it. Jesus receives his identity from the Father, and as that happens, the Holy Spirit is resting on him. And did you know that this happens for us too? when we get our identity in Christ, the Spirit comes and rests in us. And Romans chapter 8 kind of talks all about that, and chapter 12 too. So you guys can look that up later. I was listening to one of Bill Johnson's sermons, and he was talking about this same moment at Jesus' baptism and how the scripture describes the Holy Spirit as a dove descending and then resting on Jesus. And he made this observation that I thought was pretty clever. He says, like, the scripture never mentions that the Spirit ever left Jesus. And he goes on to make the point of, what if we lived like that? If the Holy Spirit, you know, sat on our shoulder like a bird, how would you carry yourself? Would you shake him off immediately? Or would you do everything in your power to walk and carry yourself so he would never leave? And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit ever leaves us, but you know that we can quench him. So if you could choose to be hyper aware of the Spirit, would you choose that? And what would that cost you? After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and showed them his hands and his side. And in John 20, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." And I love that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." Because it echoes the moment in creation when God made man. When God was creating everything, he did it with words. He said, "Let there be ... and there was. But when it came time to create man, he didn't do it with his words. He formed the man from dust. He got a little more involved. And then God got right in Adam's face and breathed into his nostrils. And it says, man became a living creature. And God gave man the authority to subdue the earth and have dominion over plants and animals. And now Jesus breathes on his disciples, and he gives them another level of authority on earth. He doesn't give them the authority to judge people. That's not what it means when he tells them that they can forgive or not forgive. He's giving them the authority to preach the gospel, because it is the gospel message that convicts us. And we either repent or we reject it and face condemnation. And it's the same for us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit is in us. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites had the temple, you know, the tent, and they would have to make a trip to the temple to be in the presence of God. But now that we have the Spirit in us, we are the temple, right? And I know we've all read that verse in Corinthians that says, our body is a temple. The Holy Spirit is within us. And I feel like often we take that verse and we turn it into a poster for health. You know, like, need to work out and don't eat fats and sugars and don't do drugs. Just don't do anything fun. Amen. But all of those things are like healthy whether you're a Christian or not. You know, like, just making good choices isn't, we don't just have all that. So I think that verse means way more than CrossFit and vegan strawberries. So Jesus breathes on them and tells them to receive the Spirit. And before he ascends in Acts chapter 1, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come down on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I love that Jesus tells them that. He's like upfront about it. And he tells them, you're going to receive power. And then he tells them what they are to do with that power. We are to be his witnesses. It's the same for us as it is for them. So now we get to Pentecost. This is chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I love that. I love that when the Holy Spirit comes, they were able to sense him with their ears and their eyes. I think that is so kind. Because before that, Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit to show up. And then he jets. You know, I'm sure they had questions. You know, they were like, "What? How long are we supposed to stay here? How are we going to know when the Spirit gets here?" But then this happens. A huge sound, tongues of fire. And I'm sure they're like, "Oh, we're up, guys. This is it." So I love that. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language?" And it skips down, and it says, "They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" So the apostles start speaking different languages, because it says that at the time there were devout men from every nation under heaven. That is probably a lot. And I love that they are getting to hear about God in their own language. God is meeting the people where they're at. He's not saying, "Look, you have to learn Hebrew first to be a part of this." He's coming straight to us. And some of the people were amazed. You know, they were like, "This is incredible. What does this mean?" And some people were totally throwing shade, right? They were like, "When did these rednecks learn to speak freaky deaky Dutch?" They're probably drunk. And I love that because it's so typical of human beings. Even on the first day of church, you have people saying, "Yes, this is amazing. I want this." And then you have others saying, "You know, this is dumb. No, thank you." And by the way, that was me in the 90s at this very church. Yeah. So, Acts chapter 2, it continues with Peter standing up and giving a sermon. And this is shocking. Because this is the Holy Spirit at work. Because up until this point, Peter has never seemed very eloquent. He's kind of the guy with no filter. And don't get me wrong, I love Peter. He has this great, passionate heart for the Lord. But he doesn't have very much forethought. And actually, that gets him pretty far. You know? But now, with the Holy Spirit on him, it's like he's leveled up. His maturity has grown. And do you want that? Because I do. So Peter, with the Holy Spirit, he gives this compelling sermon on the gospel of Jesus. And the people's hearts are changed. They want in on this gig, and they ask, "What do we do?" So, in verse 38, he tells them, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And the people were baptized. And it says that 3,000 souls were added that day. And that sounds like a really great day at church. It's a good day. So what do we do? We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. The same one as Peter. And the same one who was hovering over the waters before creation. He is inside of us. And do you believe that? And do you act like that? We are a marked people. We have been highlighted. And the Holy Spirit came down and marked the apostles with fire. And all of these generations later, here we are, and we're still marked. And I'm going to tell a story on myself. And it's not quite a Jamie the anti-hero story, but it's close. I don't know if you've noticed over the last 3 months, but I have had blue hair. I know. So if you're a visitor, your eyes are just fine. And I have a very public job. And every day the public, often strangers, come up to me and they say whatever they want to about the hair right to my face. And it's usually fine. You know, I love it. I love talking to people. And younger people ask me how I did it. And I tell them the salon to go to. And I tell them not to do it themselves. Older women often tell me that I am brave for doing it. And I don't feel brave at all. But I love it when an 80-something-year-old tells me that I'm brave. Because she's lived twice as long as I have. And she thinks that I am brave. And older men, they always, always ask me why I did it. And they never ask it with actual interest in their voice. It's more like, but why did you do that? And because I'm terrible, I always want to reply, well, I don't know. Why is your sweater tucked into your pants? But I don't say that out loud. I do have self-control, believe it or not. Yes. So I was actually at the salon last week getting my hair all blued up again, right? And this lady came in, and she took note of what was happening, and she started in on the bravery thing. Oh, I wish I could do that, but I'm not brave. I could never get away with that. And I said, get away with it? Like, no, you have it all wrong. I've worked at the public library for over 10 years. So when I'm out in the community, at the store, the restaurant, gas station, I will hear, hey, mom, look, it's the library lady. And by the way, every lady who works in a library gets this at least once a week. And we love it. And I went on to say, having a public job like that makes me more aware of my behavior when I'm in public. But you add punk blue hair to it, and now I'm recognized and easily remembered by people who don't come into the library. So I have to be on my best behavior everywhere. I can't get away with anything. Right? I can't blend in with this. I am marked. And so the Holy Spirit has highlighted us. And it might not seem as visible a mark as blue hair, but we can't blend in either. And if we honor that mark, our life will show it. Because there's something attractive about the Holy Spirit, right? People would come up to Jesus all the time. They would break the law just to be around him because he was so kind. So when you honor the Holy Spirit and you start obeying him, you might notice an increase of strangers coming up to you and telling you all kinds of things. And if that sounds awful to you, if you're like, wait, I don't want to deal with a bunch of needy strangers. I don't even like half of the people I like. I'm going to stop you right there because I've already had this conversation with God and he is not interested in my pettiness. So, this gift of the Holy Spirit, we're the temple now. And every time we go out there, we are representing that. We are the church, and we have this power to be a witness of Jesus. So how are we going to carry that? And will we carry it well? Can I stop there? Is that all right? If you feel like you already understand this really well, then awesome. And if you feel like you haven't been living in a way that honors this gift of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been honoring this mark in the way you've been highlighted, then let's pray about that, all right? if you want, you can put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, we are sorry for treating you as a lesser part of the Trinity. And we are sorry for ignoring the mark you've put on us. Will you ignite it again? And will you help us keep it lit and keep us from quenching it? We say yes to you now, and will you help us say yes tomorrow and every day? Thank you. Amen.